This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 644. It's our 20th anniversary episode. You might ask, why isn't it episode 1040? Well, you forget. 20th anniversary of the first episode, not 20 consecutive weekly years of broadcasts.
20 weekly years.
Yes, 20 weekly years. 20 years of weekly episodes, 20 weekly years.
I will accept that. I will accept that phrasing.
No, well, they're both correct, actually, so you'll have to accept both. Yes, that was Chris. But yeah, this is our 20th anniversary episode. And but no, there was, we were dormant for a while, off and on. I think there were about 3 years when there was no episodes posted whatsoever. Like 05, 06, and 07, but every other year we had at least one episode. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah,
because I remember submitting content for at least one episode in 2004.
Yeah, and that was I think we did one episode that year, and like three in 2003, and like a dozen in 02, and we were pretty much weekly in 2000 and 2001.
Yeah, those were our like real on years until the show came back.
Yeah,
full time.
Yeah, and then when it came back, dear God, did it come back?
Yeah, we're still waiting for it to go away again.
Yeah, me too, actually.
thanks,
terrible.
Terrible. Yeah,
thanks, JD. This is Diecast. Matt is here. Don.
Yay.
John, who is also, along with Chris and me, basically been here since the beginning. John will be here at some point. Rob's not here. Rob is recovering from an unexpected surgery. We'll also call that an emergency surgery, but he's doing well. He's at home, and you can send him well wishes on Twitter.
At Figure Reviewers or Flail Rob Throughs. Flails now, I think.
Rob Flails, yeah. He has like 5 Twitter accounts that he uses and 3 that you can see.
We missed Rob. Get better, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just 2 that you can see, actually.
Figure Reviewers, Flail Throughs, and the new...
No, Flail Throughs is not active now.
Oh, it's not?
He's replaced that with Rob Flails.
Oh, okay. Well,
I didn't get a chance to ask why before the, you know, whole medical thing kicked up.
But yeah, Rob will be back, I'm assuming, next week.
He'll be back to transform our day into an adventure eventually.
Yeah. Yep. 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 But yeah.
Who's Tommy Kennedy?
Not it.
Rob? Okay. Now I was going to say Eric, but Eric's actually really tall. Rob's really tall too. Diecast is Tommy, and Rob is Power Master Prime. That's the closest.
That scales about correctly.
That scales about right, yeah.
Yeah. When you put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone grab the Sunbow chart. Let's make sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sick of that thing.
Yeah, me too. So, but yeah, it's our 20th anniversary episode. We're going to, I'm going to do a little different stuff this week. Just an observation. We all have news and stuff, but I want to go in and read some notes that were sent our way, but also, I guess, sort of to set the stage of where we were or where the world was in 1999. I collected some facts that I wanted to share. But yeah, so also I want to thank everybody who used and bought something from our Amazon podcast wish list. It's very helpful. We'll distribute that out to the guys here. tfradio.net/podwish. I've sent everyone notes directly, but thank you. And again, if you want to, you know, help us out, we don't have a Patreon yet, but tfradio.net/podwish takes you right to our people watching video. Like when I say take to, I always do this little hand motion like that means anything. It doesn't, but takes you to our Amazon wish list, where basically what I use to manage the hardware that we use. So if you want to buy something, you can buy something. It'll come to me and I'll ship it out to them. So.
You know what you could do for the audio version, which of course most of our audience is experiencing the show Trumbo. Through. I was thinking a slide whistle when you make that hand motion.
Yes. Yeah.
But we were on basically the same page, so I'm glad.
I just couldn't remember what it was called, so I thought it was a trombone. But yes,
I mean a trombone could like work for that too. Whistle. But slide whistle is more whimsical, and I think would really fit the mood a little bit better.
I think you're right. Let's see here. What else we got?
We're weird. We're really weird. We've edited audio, individually, collectively for way too much of our lives at this point.
Yep. That's absolutely true. Of course, our Roku channel and Fire TV, tfradio.net/Roku, tfradio.net/Fire TV. I think that makes sense if you know what that is. And also, a note, some of us will be at TFCon USA next week. I think four of us. Don, Diecast, Matt, and myself. So I think,
and possibly Massey.
No, Don's girlfriend will be there though.
No,
I'm going to warn her.
Yeah, Massey is going to be staying here. He's going to have the apartment to himself with plenty of food and fresh water. And
you're not going to board him?
No, because we're not leaving until around noon on Friday, and we're probably going to be leaving. Well, it's just her work and everything else, so that
the boarders won't take him anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he does have warning and highlighter on his file.
You know, I'm doing the same thing with my cats. I am basically putting out more food and a couple more litter boxes, and I'm going to be gone for a couple of days. They're going to be fine, but I do have to board Max, and Max went to go get an extra shot today, and I was highly embarrassed because he freaked out when a dog would come through the door. So I'm like, please let him be boarded here next week. Don't disqualify him for being a jerk today. So I was really embarrassed by that, but he's usually great, but today he was being a jerk. But so guys, do we like, as far as like coverage and stuff goes, I'll take photos. We'll probably all take photos, but like, you know, we'll be tweeting out photos from like the floor and stuff. We always record a podcast. Just because it's an opportunity to get together, but I'm like half thinking about like not making a big deal of anything because like not really like much in the way of news happens at TFCon. It's just really a chance to get together and hang out and have fun, but we'll record something, I guess, or we won't, but we'll have pictures either way.
I'm glad there's a concrete plan. Yeah,
there's totally a concrete plan. Yeah, Kim was like, how much podcast equipment do we need to take in the van?
All of it.
No, I'm probably bringing one recorder, and we'll just use the omnidirectional microphone.
Oh, that's going to be great audio quality.
It's usually actually pretty good.
I'm just trying to make you paranoid, man.
Yeah,
I actually don't even care.
No, you don't. You really don't. We'll do something.
You heard how my podcast sounded for like 5 years. Yeah,
like I could record using that recorder sitting on the toilet with the cats fighting outside. It would still sound better than that.
That sounds like a challenge.
Hey, bring it back and we'll test it out. Okay. Let's, before we get to what we got this week, I'm going to do the 20th anniversary stuff, sort of get it out of the way. Like I said, I'm going to read some notes here that I took about sort of what the world was like in 1999, at least from an entertainment perspective. Because honestly, I was surprised myself. I captured like what were the top five music singles that week, top five movies. TV shows were a little harder. I'd have to pay to get like the ratings for that specific week. So I'm going to do the whole year. And also like what Transformers stuff was going on at that time. So the top five music singles. I picked top five because I have no idea what the number one song was, but I did recognize the second song. So number one was Heartbreaker by Mariah Carey featuring Jay-Z. I have no idea what that song is. But number two was Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas. If you remember that song, anybody besides me remember that? It was like,
oh, I do.
Ginormous. Yeah.
I don't recognize it by name, but maybe if you hum a few bars.
No. Another song was Unpretty by TLC. Again, I don't know. But I thought the fourth one was hilarious. It's so 1990s. Mambo Number 5. Remember that?
Jessica on that long.
Yeah. God, that's I just ridiculous. That song is ridiculous. But that was number four, and She's All I Ever Had by Ricky Martin. I don't know anything about that one, but I just thought four was hilarious.
Ah, Ricky Martin. Now that's a flavor of the 90s.
It absolutely is. Top five movies. I think this is interesting. The top five movies. Number one, Fight Club. So Fight Club came out the week that it was out the week. It was number one movie of the week that we did the first show. Double Jeopardy. I don't remember that one. I want to confuse it with Face Off, but it's not.
I preferred the next sequel, Final Jeopardy.
Yeah, I'm certain that was a better one. The Story of Us, don't remember it. Three Kings, I do remember that one. And again, something I actually thought came out way earlier, American Beauty.
Really? That was 99?
99.
I would have thought 96.
Yeah, me too. No, this is absurd. The top five TV shows for the year, but still 99. Any idea? Any guess? Number one, number two, and number three TV shows were the same show, just a different nightly airing. Wants to be a Millionaire? It aired three times a week, and it was the number one, two, and three.
That seems like cheating.
I know, right? Number four, ER. I had no idea it was even still around at that point.
Oh, ER went for like 17 seasons, I think.
That's a lot. And Friends, also, like, that's about the most 90s TV show you can imagine.
Yeah, honestly, like, you know, since Who Wants to Be a Millionaire cheated and took three spots, you should have got, like, the next, you should have got spots six, seven, and eight for a true top five. Yeah,
I didn't. I didn't.
Yeah, you planned this badly.
You were born badly.
Well,
actually, yes, that's factually true.
Me too.
Don't ever underestimate the power of Regis Philbin, I guess.
Did he host that? I thought it was somebody else.
I mean, he hosted it when it started. I don't know if he's still hosting it in 99.
Okay.
Yeah.
It started in 99, didn't it?
I have no idea. I didn't watch it. So something a little more topical. This is in my mind. This is not by sales. This is most notable Transformers that came out that year. Actually, let's do TV series that year because we had three. Beast Machines, of course, started airing later in the year. Beast Wars had just ended prior to the first episode, season three. Nemesis? Or no? Was it Nemesis? Was that the finale?
Nemesis Part Two was Summit Bro by Simon Furman,
and
it showed.
Yeah, and Beast Wars Neo had also just ended. The top toys for that year. This is again my ratings, but you know it is what it is. Big Convoy came out that year.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
I cannot believe Big Convoy is 20 years old. I know.
The Transmetal 2.
That's why it has an encore, Don.
So Transmetal 2, like Megatron, Dinobot, Cheetor, all those came out.
Don't talk about Transmetal 2 Cheetor. That's a terrible toy. Nobody needs to be reminded of that.
Transmetal Ravage came out. X1 Ravage. Walmart Rat Trap, which I bought like a million of and used as trade fodder.
Yeah, that was the blue one.
Yeah.
Which that was a nice looking blue on that figure, though.
It was. Now it's like a nice looking blue on the bottom of the bag that Michael Wee's in. Yeah.
Poor Transmetals.
Yeah. Animorphs came out in 99.
It sure did.
Yeah. The Fox Kids figures. So like the Fox Kids version of all those
figures. That Transmetal Tarantulas is still one of the most beautiful figures they've done.
I believe that Tarantulas did not come out until 2000, but yes.
Stampy. Everybody loves Stampy. Oh, yeah,
wear a Stampy around your neck, you'll get chicks.
That was Turin, yeah. my favorite from the whole year, Optimus Minor. Again, a Transmetal 2, but, you know, Optimus Minor is no laughing matter. So, the first episode, what were we talking about? I reviewed Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia. Was that the first like multimedia Transformers toy review ever?
Most likely.
Yeah. The first non-text review. It's not YouTube because, God no, there's no way to even do video at that point. But
well, it certainly wasn't practical. There, you could encode video at that point because we were watching.
I have to do it on a camcorder and then encode it and then upload it.
No, I mean, there was devices and connectors where you could like directly connect like a VCR to a computer and capture the video that way.
But like really to get the video in, it would either have to be through a crappy webcam or do it over a camcorder.
Oh, yeah, for a review.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about video encoding in general at that point.
No, I was actually encoding TV stuff and like saving off the files and they were lost on hard drives years ago.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, but God, that was terrible.
Because, like, the start of RFC wasn't too far before we were watching low quality Beast Machines and Car Robots episodes on TF Extreme or whatever it was.
TF Extreme and all that stuff. The video was interlaced. It was just looked horrible.
Well, it was also like 144p, so yeah. Good luck watching that on the
144i
phone.
Also in the episode, we really only talked about a couple things, but the other thing was I was so excited about the Kid Rhino VHS release of Transformers the movie. We'd already had the Mallow film version that came out in Canada, which I imported a copy of that a couple years before this, but an actual domestic use of Transformers the movie on VHS.
Yeah, because Brian, up to that point, all we had was the Family Home release.
We had the Mallow film version too.
Okay.
Yeah, that was released in Canada in 97. And if you were lucky, you might have a copy from the Laserdisc that somebody in a third generation version of that from Japan. But yeah, there was one more, at least one more release in that was in North America. Okay, so just real quick, I'm going to go through some emails and some tweets and stuff. But we had a couple people leave messages, so I'm going to go ahead and play that, and we'll jump to some of the other stuff after this.
Hi there, RFC peeps. It's Ultra Marginal here from Down Under. My local forum of choice is OTCA. It was around mid-2011 I got my first smartphone, and I soon realized that I could listen to podcasts instead of idiot morning and afternoon radio on my travels to and from work. I've been listening to RFC ever since. 20 years is a massive milestone. I'm not sure exactly how long I've been listening, but it's been a long time. I'd like to say that I sincerely miss JD Church and the input that he had to the show. I miss Rob Springer. The guy has his own podcast and it's great, but when he mixes it with you guys, he is a funny fella. Don and Massey, they are without a doubt a highlight. You have a great show, you have great discussions and topics, and I look forward to seeing another 20 years of RFC.
No.
I'd like to finish with hashtag stuff the Seacons, give me Unicron.
I thought you'd like that diecast.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you, Ultra Marginal. We had one more. I think we got a voicemail too, but I didn't download it. I don't think it was legible. So here's one more from Phil.
Hey, RFC. Phil over at ASMZine.net here. Just dropping an email to say happy 20th anniversary. Wow, 20 years. Both ASM and RFC started in 1999. And when I think back over those last 20 years, we have seen a lot of interesting things with Transformers. A lot of highs, a lot of lows, and experienced things that we never thought we'd see. Just want to say I appreciate you guys for what all you do in the fandom. I listen to you every week. You guys do great news, great commentary. You should be very proud of what you've done over those past 20 years. But if I can make a suggestion, you should have me on a little bit more often. But in all seriousness, happy 20th anniversary. And here's to another 20 years of RFC, by which point we will definitely be way too old to be playing with plastic robots.
I really sincerely hope we're not doing this in 20 years.
But we appreciate you too, Phil.
Yeah, but I don't have an exit strategy for this, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think someone tweeted to that effect earlier today about how, you know, we'd be doing this for another 20 years. And it's really like, okay, obviously that's not going to happen, but like, when do we call this? When do we say, you know what, our work here is done?
Yeah, I know. We'll figure it out. Let's see here. So a couple emails and some other messages. So this is from the TF Boy from the T-Formers forums. It's like, I've been listening to your podcast for quite a while now. Back when the forums on T-Formers were quite active, I was listening to it regularly, but he's fallen off and become less active since sort of the forums have sort of faded away. He only listens occasionally. He said recently, however, mainly around the time we got the infamous Massey attack, I began to listen regularly again. And I love what you guys do. I don't know if I'll ever go back and rewatch the episodes I missed, but I'll definitely stay up to date with your new episodes. And he shares his favorite moment, which I'll play in a second. But thanks again for putting out the podcast on a regular basis. I look forward to another 20 years and beyond. So he says his favorite moment is, I'm sure you get the Massey attacks and even a few clips of JD, but mine is something fairly recent. And then he links to RSC 620. The episode title will reveal it all. 40-year-old gum is worse. It's the bit when I was chewing the 40-year-old chewing gum. Like, as a personal plug, though, for some of my personal Twitter account, this past week, I did some unpacking of some Star Trek, the motion picture trading cards. I've been wanting to do that for a while.
Oh man, I missed that. I got to go back and look.
It's on my Twitter. It's a crappy set.
I watched that. You said you were going to chew the gum on RFC this week, Brian. I'm holding you to that.
Can you see the video?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Brian, you all right?
Oh, God.
Only come for the Massey attack, stay for the strangling.
I've done that with 25-year-old gum, but that was worse.
Yeah, that was 40-year-old
gum.
Nice.
Okay, so that we now know that gum has a shelf life of somewhere between 25 and 40 years.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was bad. Our pal Tater X, Jason Tate, I remember listening around the holidays in 99 using Real Player on my Gateway desktop computer. I feel like I caught wind of it either on transfandom.com or would have been TFW 2005 if the merger of those two sites happened by then. Actually, if I remember correctly, we came around before TFW because Tony Bacala, is it Andrew or Anthony? His real name?
Alex.
Alex, it's with an A. Was like sending his music over because I think he used his site to like post his music, and I was playing it and running promos for TFW. But through the show, I've been introduced to Brian in his thick Southern accent. God, it was horrible. His young Ward XV. It was Goldimus Prime at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my own insertion. Hear the legend of the guy that asks about RC at BotCon every year. I'm pretty sure we talked about you quite a bit back then, Don. Don't be paranoid, but yeah.
I'm not paranoid at all.
And somewhere was a, quote, Metal Hawk guy. Highlight for me is still when we got to interview Metal Hawk guy back in, like, 2010. 20 years later, what a long, strange trip it's been. Here's to 20 more. You know, I think we announced it a while back, but apparently Metal Hawk guy passed away. Joe Ibe. So that's terrible, but we interviewed him. It was a lot of fun, and we have that back in the archives at tfradio.net.
I think a copy of that might even be on the YouTube channel still, if you go the hell far back.
So I'm just going to go through some other notes, emails, direct messages, and some stuff that had been posted on Facebook and Twitter from the last couple of days. Our pal GB Blackrock, Mark Baker Wright, happy 20th anniversary RSC, hashtag CCons before Unicron forever.
Yes. That's right.
I like Mark too.
Mark's great.
I like Mark too. Even more now.
Mark Alley is great too. Mark's awesome. I've been listening for a long time and I love the show. It's hard to pick a favorite thing, but if I had to nail it down, it would be Toy Detective. It's like investigative journalism, but for nerds. I love it.
That's my favorite thing too.
Yeah. I really enjoy that.
I say not being biased at all as one of the two Toy Detectives.
Well, yeah, I mean, but like the actual podcast stuff that's like, yeah, labeled Toy Detective is always Rob.
I really dig that.
Devin M. On Twitter. Congrats. I've been listening for about 10 years now, or at least since you came back full time, and look forward to have a show to listen to each and every week to distract me from the hellscape known as I-77. There's 20 more. So my favorite thing about TFCon Charlotte was when you guys were talking about driving down and how you drove like through DC and everything and traffic got bad, like on exit 33 on I-77. And that's my exit. That's where I live. The traffic here is horrible. And I'm pretty sure on his side of the interstate, it's worse. So yeah, I-77 sucks. TFU.info, Anthony, congrats TF Radio on 20 years. I'm proud to have been part of the illustrious alumni of the show and proud of B. Kilby for creating and maintaining such a great fan institution. Yeah, Ant was on years ago. His segment was Destroy, Erase, Improve. And it's actually really good. Those hold up really well. I should like go in and like tag everything based on the segment of the show from back then.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Actually, you know, it is, but guess what? Today I learned that Yahoo Group still exists. It's going away, but it still exists. I posted every week when I put for each episode what segments were on it. So I could just go back and pull that. I'm actually pretty happy about it. In between that and All Toys Transformers, I have a pretty complete show run for everyone.
Hmm.
My pal, Chad Young, horrormoviebarbecue.com. 20 years, congrats to Brian and the crew for making this one of the best podcasts of all time. Here's 20 more. Why do people want to subject us to 20 more years of this?
Yeah. Because they secretly hate us, but not so secretly.
I think it's they're hopeful that Transformers will be as topical for the next 20 years that it is right now.
Massey is attacked. If you're watching video, tfradio.net/live, Don is in the middle of a Massey attack right now.
It wouldn't be the 20th anniversary without a Massey attack.
No. He's pointing his finger and telling Massey no.
No. I just heard it. I don't know how that works, but it does.
Okay.
Yeah, just
now,
thinking.
Now they appear to be having a stare down.
If we do this for another 20 years, I'll be 57?
60. I'll be 60.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, you say if Transformers is as topical, Transformers was way less topical when I started it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Massey just ran away.
Well, that's probably for the best, isn't it?
What if Massey, probably going to go doodle on the floor.
What if Massey, yeah, like, jumps on him from behind during the
show?
Well,
then we'll have a really good show
this
week.
He could be preparing a sneak attack.
Yeah. Oh,
this is awesome. This is not staged.
Anyway, as for why people keep wishing, you know, 20 more years out of us, they love the show, but they hate us.
Oh, there you go. That's true. Okay. Yeah. Our pal, Greg Metcalf, please put out the audio for that first episode at the end of this week's episode. I plan to. Thank you for the suggestion. Colin Bell, congratulations, guys. Keep up the awesome work. Big hugs from Scotland. Oh, okay. So our pal, AlexJ33106, congrats, Brian, and everyone on the team. Now, I want to point out, when I first started doing RFC, there were basically two people that I consulted with on this who I always consider co-founders, even though Alex is only on the show like once, but Alex and Mad Max MFP from Ouija and Alt Toys Transformers, those two guys, we sort of talked through, and they were my sounding board on pulling this together all those years ago. Yeah, Alex has been a friend for forever, and I appreciate that, Alex. And maybe at TFCon, we'll figure out a way to get you on the show. Aaron F. West, I started listening only in 2016, but being a longtime Transformers fan made it easy to get started and feel like I've known the RFC cast for years already. Common interests, common experiences, love the show. Thank you. And the last one, Paul MV, congrats. Been listening since the beginning. And we have a wild John DeLuna who has finally appeared.
Hey, better late than never.
Better late than never. You know, so, hey, you weren't there at the very beginning. It was like 3 weeks later.
Uh-huh.
Was it okay? The order was me, uh-huh, Turin, then John. I think John is right. Chris.
Cool.
Yeah. Like within a month, you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mel did Harper. We recruit each other? Did you recruit me off ATT? How did that work? I forgot.
Dude, I'm pretty sure.
Or Ouija.
You weren't in Ouija yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm the one that lured you into Ouija. If I remember right. Okay. I didn't like go to anybody and say, how can you help? People came to me. I think you wanted to be part of it, and here you are 20 years later. But yeah, so in same thing with Chris, same thing with Rob Springer, even though Rob freaked me out. That was a couple years later. Yeah, like this is just a random
don't change.
Yeah, a random AOL IM. It's like, hey, do you want to come to Atlanta? I'm like, why are you talking to me? Why are you listening to me? What is this? But yeah.
Hey, back in the day on ATT and whatnot, there was no like direct message functionality,
no,
right?
It's email.
There was email.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but on the RSC website, I listed my personal AIM address or AIM ID and my awesome ICQ, my email address.
ICQ.
And I think there was a widget or something. Yeah, that you could, somebody from the site could click and it would jump to AIM. I'm pretty sure there's a AIM could be addressable via hyperlink. So,
yeah, it could.
But yeah, so John Mopboy joined around the same time. Scott Johnson. I haven't talked to him in a while. I thought about like trying to get some folks together and like do a chat for this episode, but I did that for the 10th anniversary episode. Nobody cared but me. But so,
aww. Yeah. Oh, this is your life kind of thing.
That's kind of what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, you know, actually though, you know, somebody early on at that point too, is about like a year later, but JD sort of joined in early on. So, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, a lot of friends we've made over the years. Anthony Rucali from TFU Info, of course. Of course, we knew him before then, but he came around and did that. Hooper X, again, we knew him beforehand, but.
Oh, did we?
Lifelong friends have been made along the way doing RFC. And before you got here, I was telling Don, even though Don wasn't on the show until 2012, he was definitely a topic of conversation.
Oh, a legend, living legends, icon. He's on the Mount Rushmore of Transformer fans.
And he is. And I think I've told him that I featured him in a fanfic once. Or at least somebody, it wasn't by name.
Somebody highly inspired by Headmaster Don.
I think they had one line, but it was supposed to be Headmaster Don. Yes, Don.
Check, please.
Yes. Like, I wasn't stalking you. You made a cameo in a fanfic that I wrote, like in like 2000 or 2001.
No, Don, you can look at this in the right context. Like the, because I know the kind of fanfic.
Oh, I want to hear this.
He's talking about. And you had a highly flattering cameo appearance, and it could have gone much worse for you, based on some of the things he wrote.
Oh yeah, it was horrific. It was horrific. But yeah. But it was the Peter Cullen fanfic, so it was not the one I posted under a pseudonym. It was actually posted under my name.
Why am I asking for Headmaster RC in space?
I think so. If I remember correctly, in the fanfic, it took place at a fictional BotCon, and there was during the Hasbro Q&A, you stood up and asked for RC, and whoever was doing the panel, I think it might have been Peter Cullen in the story, told you to shut up and sit down. And then
that would make sense in context, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and then you shut up and sat down.
Gee, flattering.
That was it. Don's giving thumbs up awkwardly. It's great. Okay. He doesn't know how to respond.
I mean, me and you, you know, we've lived with this knowledge for a long time. Don's just learning about this now. You can't blame him for being a little bit taken aback.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to actually do something with like all those, like not the pseudonymical or whatever the fanfics that I posted under like an assumed name, but like all the stuff that I posted under my own. I'd like to have a Transformers page where I could like link to all that stuff. It used to be on my GeoCity site and it's long gone, but something that popped up today. I just did a random search and Chris Bucci, I think it's Bucci, the guy that created like the Transformers site that really got me into Transformers, which is the Transformers Collector on GeoCities. I actually found an archived version of that on the UgoCities or whatever the archive is called. And I was looking over it and like, it just brought back so many memories. I just really miss when, you know, pages were simple static HTML and, you know, people would upload like, it was almost like a blog, but blogs weren't a thing at that point because that was like the mid 90s. But I'd like to have a page like that where I could just post like all my stuff. And I've got fanfics I've been working on for 20 years I really want to finish. I really still want to finish that MASH Transformers crossover. I have so many ideas for that like in my head, but yeah, maybe eventually.
Yeah, there's always Netflix. Sell the script to Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I think Massey came back, too.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Massey is terrorizing Don right now.
They're having an argument.
let's jump to maybe Don, maybe blood will be drawn. Oh, Massey is now in hand. I think Massey has been settled.
Massey does not look happy
Massey's
about being
so cute. TFRadio.net/live.
It's really deceptive.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, his tail is not looking so cute right now.
No. Don may sacrifice his skin for our entertainment.
Don,
for peace
Don,
on Earth?
Yes. Yeah, Don may sacrifice life for peace on Earth.
Okay. What we got this week, I got the Off-Road Patrol. I couldn't remember if it was new or not. I saw that it was new on Hasbro Pulse, and I'm like, I don't think I have it, so I bought it. It is what it is. You know, they're Micromasters. I don't think they're my favorite spiny stretch, but Don stood up and
he's still having an argument with the cat.
He's supplicating himself. He's about to get on his knees and ask for forgiveness.
I think he's giving the cat treats.
So. Yeah, it's a bribe.
It's a bribe. It's a quid
pro quo.
Please
leave me alone. Please don't draw blood. Yeah. Here's some treats.
But I also got the Walmart exclusive, the Amazon exclusive, three pack of Impactor, Mirage, and Aragon. And I haven't put Aragon together in one piece because I kind of like the way it comes in the box. It is so hideously ugly, but I honestly kind of like it. It reminds me a lot of, like, you know, last week I sort of had a little rant or a moment where I celebrated repaints as, you know, like a cornerstone of Transformers. It really is. And, but like for every really high quality repaint where they add something or expand the Transformers mythos with like a really clever repaint, you know, oftentimes there's a, like a retailer exclusive version that's just a hap dash crappy, you know, cheapo repaint that adds a race stripe or something or makes it G2. That's kind of what we have here. Impactor is different, but Mirage is like all clear plastic and it's hideously ugly, but I like it.
Yeah, but it's awesome.
Yeah, so I don't love it, but I like it. I love Hotshot. I like this.
Even colorless would have been better.
It would have been.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's just awful.
That is a really classic three-pack kind of, I guess, arrangement.
Yeah.
Because it's like what it's got, it, like you were saying, it's like it's one original toy that everybody wants and two very questionable, slightly different takes on mainline toys. It's all about that one original one. They make you buy the two other kind of bizarro repaints. That's a very classic Transformers trope.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it kind of feel like the early 2000s.
Yeah, and it's in funky packaging, like this kind of like unnecessarily
dynamic,
different
wedge.
Packaging.
Yeah, it does remind me of the versus packs.
Yeah, where it's like we thought really hard about the packaging for some reason.
So Aragon, he makes Impactor taller. Is that like the recommended form factor for his feet? Is that what his feet makes other feet? Is that what he's supposed to do?
Well, I mean, the concept of supposed to with weaponizers is so loose anyway, but I mean, a common thing is shoes. Yeah.
Okay. Like I've yet to do shoes for any of these, so that I am new to shoes for weaponizers.
I mean, there's so many better things you can do other than shoes that, yes, it would be uncommon for people to just start out with the shoes.
It comes out packaged as shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I found that all the gears there on the tread make for a passable missile battery.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that works.
Because it's kind of weird because the entire Brave line is all nothing about the companion robots making shoes, pretty much. That's the entire almost 9 years of Brave.
If you look at Victory Leo with Star Saber, like most of what Victory Leo does is become shoes.
Well, yeah. Backpack and shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I kind of wish they had... I'm sorry, Brian.
No, go ahead, Don. Go ahead. I have nothing to say.
Well, I kind of wish they had done this Mirage like Ocular Max did their TFCon Mirages, like half phasing and half not.
It's nice. So, thank you, Diecasting, for doing that for me.
Yeah, because that way, you know, it would have been something a little bit different with him being, you know, the half phasing thing, and people that couldn't get the TFCon exclusive, the two versions they did, could at least have, you know, the half phase version rather than just like you said, just the clear blah one.
Yeah, clear blah. That should be the official name of it. Clear blah Mirage. Clear blah.
That's a weird accent you got there, Don.
It's the Coke Zero.
Oh.
Okay. You shouldn't do Coke while you're on the show.
Well, the dollar store didn't have any Pepsi Max, so I had to go with the second best choice.
Well, I'll move from my Rockstar to my Pepsi Max, in your honor. Okay, so I think that's all I got. Anybody else get anything?
Yeah.
Matt, what'd you get?
I got the FanVote 3-pack as well. Impactor is basically the same toy as the, you know, regular issue Impactor, except it does have the IDW head. The sculpt, it looks really, really good. He has just a couple different paint decos. He has some red on his shins instead of yellow. He has the hazard stripes in multiple areas. The one thing I really don't like about the toy that makes absolutely no sense to me and never will is the Decepticon insignia. I don't know what that's all about. As far as I know, Impactor was never a Decepticon in any media. But, again, really good toy. As far as the Mirage goes, this is my first dealing with the mold. I actually like the mold well enough.
Yeah, me too.
It does some interesting stuff. I hate that it's all translucent plastic. Very unfortunate. I do like the nylon pieces are a very pleasant powder blue color.
Carolina blue.
Yeah. You do not see enough in Transformers. Just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not too far from the Allspark blue they were using on...
The Allspark power line.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of the combiner series. That
power core combiners, well, that, yeah. The power, yeah, blocks, yeah, that blue.
Yeah, the blocks were all that same blue.
So as far as the Power Dasher that came with this, the Aragon, I think I'm going to bash him together with one of my spare cogs floating around. With all the red will make a nice Grand Max cog.
Ooh.
I think.
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, man. Fan fiction.
Of course it's not a bad idea. It was mine.
And well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I also got The Toys That Made Us Seasons 1 and 2 on Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
From Amazon. So now, even if it's taken off of a streaming site, I can still watch it anytime I want because I like physical media.
You've watched it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A couple times.
So, they have a contest right now. I think it may be over. It was at least as of this weekend. You tweet your favorite moment. Make sure you follow them. And I think their distributor on Twitter. My favorite moment is the chair from the Barbie episode. The freakishly weird chair that's in the background scene during the former Mattel exec who's being interviewed.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I like the marketing pitch of the G.I. Joe team.
Oh, the whole show, for the most part, I think is really good. The best praise that I have is I watched the Transformers episode and I didn't need to correct anything.
There you go.
It really is. And I'm not somebody who normally goes out of their way to say, you know, that this is wrong. Maybe I am. I don't know. But it was good. It was solid. Anything else?
Yeah. No, just those. I was keeping it light this week.
Don, anything?
Yeah, I got the 3-pack. I'm splitting it 3 ways with some friends from Twitter. I'm keeping the Power Dasher, and they're picking up the Clear Mirage and the Impactor. Nice. I did find at Target the other day Mirage and Impactor. Just walked in, and that's the only two they had on the shelf, and that's
Would they actually let you buy them?
Huh?
Would they actually let you buy them?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I didn't realize they were a street date issue because I had not seen anything new in my area for weeks. Actually, probably more, almost 2 months, anything new on the shelf. And they walked in, they were just literally sitting there on the shelf. So I picked them up. And thanks to Chris, I picked up that slightly damaged Omega Supreme that was marked down to 148 on Amazon because I basically did it on the deferred interest for $26 a month. On my Amazon credit card. When they say slightly damaged, we're used to going to Man's Rocky and getting a ding on the side of the box.
Oh, well, they won't sell something with a ding on the side of the box. They'll only sell you something that has like vague corner wear, and they'll call that damaged packaging.
Damaged packaging. This was not that. This was someone like they took their finger. They had a really sharp fingernail, dug a hole in the back of the packaging. And then proceeded to use two fingers and rip the back of the packaging open to get to the figure.
Well, I think all of us who aren't Don are thinking of the same mental image right now with that description, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay. I could have done without that.
Sorry, that's just the best thing I can think of. Basically, it's just a jagged hunk of cardboard tore down one side that someone folded back over and tried to use the two edges to tuck it back under each other to fit in the shipping box. Omega looks fine. He's still sealed and twist tied. I don't see any damage to the figure. But yeah, it was the most damaged warehouse thing I've ever gotten from Amazon warehouse. But it's a nice looking figure. I can't wait to dive into it. Other than that, I picked up, I forgot.
memory's the first thing to go.
Yeah. I had one other thing, and I forgot what it was.
Don, but, you had one thing.
Yeah, I forgot. But yeah, that's what I picked up this week.
Cool. Chris doesn't, right?
Not this week. Try next time.
Diecast?
Yeah, I got a couple things. I got a
couple dozen.
Well, you know, bakers. I got a impactor, which got very impacted in shipping on the way. If you saw my Twitter, he was crushed. But luckily, the figure was okay. And unlike Star Wars Black Series, I don't care if the box is damaged. So yeah, as long as the figure's okay, I'm cool. I like him a lot. He's really cool. He has a lot of ports on him to stick those weaponizers to. So I haven't tried that yet with any of my figures, but I might actually do it with Impactor. And I think I'm going to use that. What was the purple Power Master?
Brunt.
Brunt. Yeah, I think I can use Brunt with him. I think that might look good. I also got Mirage. And my Mirage has gap that I can't get rid of right here.
Mine does that too out of the three pack.
Yeah, it drives me nuts because it's a really nice looking vehicle mode, and I'd like to keep it in vehicle mode. If there's anything bad I could say about the vehicle mode, it's that the rear spoiler is like a little arms. Bit too far up. Yeah, like if they could have, I don't mind it being the arms. I think it hides the arms pretty well, but it needs to be slid back just a little bit. And then if you look at the back, you just see Mirage's chest, which is kind of ugly. But from the front, it's a very nice car, a very nice formula car. So I'll probably just leave it in robot mode since the gap
is there. I tried to put the clear one from the three pack in vehicle mode too, trying to get rid of that gap. I put stress marks on some of his some of his tabs.
Good to know.
So
good to
know.
Maybe would shave some of those down then.
Yeah, I would very much like a selects version of that toy in all opaque plastic, perhaps red with the toy head. Just
yes, I would like that very much myself.
Oh, actually, I was told Diecast. I watched Imgo's review, and his is the exact same way. So it looks like that's just going to be a tolerance issue.
Yeah, that's clear plastic for you.
I'm sorry, Chris. The arms don't peg in very well to the top of the vehicle either, which is also pegged into that clear plastic spot.
Yeah, I would say probably, you know, gently, carefully shave down some of those pegs to try to get a little bit smoother fit, especially since we are dealing with, on both versions of Mirage, a lot of large pieces of clear plastic, and that stress can kind of build up. As for the robot chest sticking out of the back of the car, the best and most logical suggestion I've heard for why that's the case is for a later reuse, so that the chest is not an integral component. They can swap it out easily for some other character torso, like Slapdash, like we've been thinking for a little bit. But like it would make it easier to change the identity of the robot than having it be integral with the vehicle.
Sure Shot or
yeah. Well, one of those guys.
Got the New Age Megatron, which is the guess they're smaller than Legend scale, but he's actually not a bad size. Like I took him out of packaging and he's pretty good, pretty decent size. Ooh, I don't know.
50 or 60.
You don't know.
I think it was around 50.
I don't know why we ask him.
I don't talk how much US currency. Anymore. I mean, if you talk,
he doesn't look at price tags. He just hits buy it now.
Yeah.
If we talk yuan, I might be able to express it a little bit better.
So, but yeah, that one seems to be more. There's more to it. More accessories. Maybe even more engineering. Maybe not more engineering, but definitely more accessories than the other New Age stuff.
I mean, it looked pretty engineered from the few pictures I've seen.
Yeah, it looks really great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one that's basically like a miniature MP36, right?
Pretty close, yeah.
Metal like this. I also got the New Age, not New Age, Iron Factory Legends Wrecker, or not Wrecker.
Helix.
Helix.
DJ.
Nice.
And, man, he is He is actually close to deluxe size. He is a big boy.
Scale, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like it.
Have you seen the early group photos of the MMC version of that with the
We saw the test shots of those in Canada. Actually, they were out on the table. They're gigantic.
Yeah.
They finally got color samples done, so those will probably be out at Reston next week.
Well, I hope, because I thought they told us they were trying to get those out by the end of the year, if not the beginning in next year.
Those are going to be expensive. I could deal with one now and one around the beginning.
Yeah, no, I mean, they'll probably have the samples on display, the color samples at Reston, not that they'll necessarily be selling them.
The Helix at least was in the blue plastic. I don't know if there were paint apps applied or not.
And then the last thing I got, I didn't even get to open it yet, was Fans Toys Blur or Jabber.
It should be called Diecast.
So it's Jabber Dabber Doo. Jabber Dabber
Doo. Well, Brian, that would require Fans Toys to love Diecast as much as Diecast loves Fans Toys himself.
That's true.
Yeah. And one more thing, just to keep up the Unicron. I forgot to mention it last week. I got the Unicron pin, which is really heavy and nice. And it's the HasLab Unicron head. Very obviously.
Weighs about 600 pounds, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty, it's heavy. So it's not 19 pounds, but it's got some good weight to it.
Strains your bank account. Just put it next to your debit card, and all of a sudden your balance just starts going down somehow.
Yeah.
I'll be interested for your review, Diecast, of Jabber, because I have the unique toys, the buzzing from a few years back. That's a really good looking blur. Oh, yeah. I'll be interested to see how that works out compared to buzzing.
Yeah, I have buzzing too, so I can do a comparison between the two.
Of course you do.
He has everything.
He has everything. Okay. John, you have anything?
I got the Fan 3 pack, and I haven't opened it yet, but I feel like I have after watching everybody's opinions on it. So thanks for the stress mark warning, Sir Matt. I'm going to call you Sir Matt. And then, Brian, you're going to love this. I got the Ninja Turtles arcade. Oh, I'm
jealous.
I know you are.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Can you fit four people around it? Like four adults?
No way. You could fit like 4 or 5-year-olds around it. As far as like actually functioning adults, it's a pipe.
Are any of us functioning adults?
No.
No.
We try.
Yeah.
So you have, that's three now you have in your office. What's the next one?
The next one's going to be the Marvel
cabinet. Oh, you're going to get the Marvel cabinet.
That's the one I want. I like those two games. So I like the two games. Like, I like Children of the Atom is a garbage game. It's like broken, and but it looks pretty, and I have nostalgia for that game. And then Marvel Superheroes, actually, that's also garbage and broken.
I like the Punisher. I think the Punisher is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's like the random like toss in one, and that's actually a decent beat 'em up.
It's too really much game though. They screwed that up. So like there's other games that they should have used, like the Street Fighter cabinet needed hyper fighting, but it doesn't have it.
Know what they're doing.
I mean, I guess they're going to have a Street Fighter cabinet that has everything, or they're going to have another cabinet that has three games on it.
Yes, for sure. And they have that weird tabletop version that's either coming. I think it's coming out. I think it's on pre-order. The tabletop. Yeah. Street Fighter game that has vanilla Street Fighter 2 in it.
Also, like, so, doesn't it have like Street Fighter the original in it too?
It might, but so it's clearly like, oh, you guys are going to do a stand-up cabinet of that next
head to head on a cocktail cabinet looks horrible.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it just looks awful.
Okay, well, John, for someone that's an sort of a neophyte with all this stuff, I like Children of the Atom, and I like Marvel Superheroes. Why are they not good? Because I love those.
They're good
games
for you, Don. They're not good for him.
They're really fun to play, but like competitively, like they're glitchy and they have like infinite combos.
They're not balanced
at all. So like if you're playing somebody that is like, a jerk and halfway good at the game, it's not fun.
Okay, because I always played Iceman. I always use Iceman.
So see, you and I could have a nice casual set someday when there's BotCon, you know, 2025.
This is the cabinet that they opted to put the hoary sticks and buttons on.
It is.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's weird.
That needs to be on the Street Fighter cabinet.
Yeah, or like the Marvel versus Capcom 2 cabinet or something. Something where people are like super serious.
If there's ever one of those.
Yeah.
That runs on the Naomi hardware, so I don't know that they'll ever do that.
That's a dream. I can dream.
Yeah. Okay. Don, did we get you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's jump into news. We'll run through it pretty quick.
Because there is none.
Yeah, there's news. I have a few items here. So there's the Transformers Studio Series, new product listings. The big thing to me, though, we have Wreckers listed, specifically Roadbuster, which was the AMP car. But if they're doing Wreckers, that means we'll get a deluxe Leadfoot that's not $200.
Probably. I mean, there's always a chance Studio Series will be canceled.
Yeah, that's true. So what do we have in here? Overload, Roadbuster, Bumblebee, the Jeep version, and the Shatter Jet Mode.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is that Overload? I've seen the name, but I
Overload,
don't
know. It's one of the 2 liter class Constructicons. Makes Audio Devastator.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking Armada Overload.
No.
But it's the wrong. I was wrong character.
That's wrong decade.
Yeah. But yeah,
I think Overload was the last one we were waiting for, like a listing or official reveal of.
So what? Studio Series, they go back to the well on old molds, right? So Leadfoot could be the original Leadfoot mold, could it not?
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but more likely it would be newly developed for the line to fit in, you know, a wave budget. Yeah. Like with Cogman, they went back to the existing mold just because they were using that as an excuse to... Yeah. Get that to more people, and they reused a Premier Edition Bumblebee, but that was in a store exclusive 2-pack, so that's outside the normal budget structure. You can find those at Ollie's now for half price.
Yeah, what about Soundwave?
Soundwave's new. Soundwave's a new mold.
Okay,
it looks good.
So
new Soundwave, what?
Well, Soundwave being new, that means that Leadfoot would probably also be new.
Yeah, most likely. Like I said, it's not impossible that they would dig out an old mold if it made. Monetary sense to do that, but it's far outside the norm for the line, you know, still.
It's kind of funny, like on Twitter, our pal in the chat, Cat Max Gaming, will hit me up and ask me questions about movie toys and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know anything about movie toys, but like I know enough to remember that Leadfoot is rare and Soundwave is rare, relatively speaking. Yeah. So I would like to have both. I don't have the original molds either, but
Because there is that whole wave of Dark of the Moon era figures that basically only came out in Japan and maybe Asia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wheeljack. Yeah, because I figured if they were going to just rehash the molds and bring them back out, they would have done it with Soundwave, because the name alone probably would have been enough to carry that figure if they were going to just bring the mold back out of storage.
And those Dark of the Moon molds are kind of a tricky thing anyway, because like they were at that transitional point in the design stage where some of them are far too expensive to produce now to sell as deluxes.
Like a part count are pretty high.
Yeah, part count and material volume kind of exclude a lot of them. A really good example of that is the cannon arm Bumblebee?
Yes.
So Takara, for maybe the Age of Extinction line when they ran that, or Movie the Best, one of those, they used that mold, but they had to sell it at a Voyager equivalent price point. Because that's just how the economics have changed. So, yeah, I mean, for reasons like that, almost certainly all these records are going to be brand new molds. Which is a shame, because it'd be great to get some of those legacy molds back out that a lot of people just never had a chance to get.
Yeah.
That's why I got those... those third-party wreckers.
Knockoffs?
Yeah. Well, no, they're not knockoffs. They were all done with the weapons on them and everything. They weren't just straight, like,
what was vehicles. That, Alien Attack?
Yeah, I think so. No, not Alien Attack. They were some off name brand.
So I'll be honest with you. I better not. I can't. I shouldn't say it. I might have. So those are the ones that had the actual deck badging of,
the trademark logos. And
I might have contacted the legal department of certain companies to let them know that their IP was being used on toys that could potentially be dangerous. Just saying.
They had the Mountain Dew logos and everything.
Brian waving the American flag. Sergeant Slaughter.
You know, yeah, I'm just saying. If a kid choked on something that they had gotten from like their uncle or something that had like the Target logo on it, I'm certain Target wouldn't be happy with that. Let's see here. So moving along. Toys R Us, the website is up and it's it's powered by Target.com. Funny enough, Target, the first time I bought something off Target, if I remember right, it was based on Amazon. Amazon was doing Target's website.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Amazon was doing Toys R Us's website too.
Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah. But that is
certainly good. So
that's a thing.
So nothing will be in stock at Toys R Us, only found in stores, and then it won't be found in the stores because there are no stores.
It's just they're running the website.
I was in Target the other day and saw the big expanded, just new Disney store, like their Disney toy store in the toy department that they're rolling out now. It was cool. It was just a mini Disney store in a Target. Yeah.
Basically all Frozen 2 then, huh?
Yes.
Let it go, Don. Let it go. Okay.
Okay. Toys R Us does have Omega Supreme on their website.
But, you know, if they didn't have one, at least the last time I checked, they do not have Transformers in any navigation scheme whatsoever.
Cool.
Which tells me that it's probably a data problem and not a design problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you go to a website, like the net, for the most part, like maybe not the topmost navigation, but everything else is based on metadata that exists on the, from the, that comes from the manufacturer, or the vendor. If something isn't there, it means that the data is probably either A, not being provided by the vendor, or they just don't have product that is listed. So it's probably once they have more Transformers stuff in stock, it may show up in the navigation. Then again, it may not. But
yeah, they have hardly anything for Transformers.
Yeah. So I was disappointed though that Transformers wasn't listed like as one of the major brands they sell. But again, it could just be
because almost everybody has it as a top level brand.
Yeah. It could be that, you know, they don't have anything. And if you don't have the data, you don't have the stuff in the navigation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What else we got going on? Real quick, Yellow Park rolls out 24-inch Cybertron Optimus Prime movie figure. So it's an official product. I don't really know what to think about it. I'm certain this is somebody's thing. It's,
Well, Ender's probably excited.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I've never heard of them before.
Me either.
No. I wonder if Eric likes this.
Well,
does it have the right forearms?
That's not the Optimus Prime he had opinions on. So, I don't know if he would be like particularly critical of it.
So this is like supposed to be Studio Series 38 Bumblebee movie Prime.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to call it Studio Series 38, even though it's the Bumblebee movie design, but I like saying SS-38 better than Bumblebee. I don't know. It looks weird to me. It's kind of like they took that and simplified it and then re-extrapolated other stuff to it's kind of like you take an N64 game and then you up-res it and then they add like extra textures to it on top of like the up-resed N64. It's like bad emulation.
I mean, this does appear to just be a render, and you know the lighting effects and everything could be a little bit wonky. It may look quite a bit better when there's a physical prototype or even just a different render that they can show us.
I'm certain you're right, but it's just you want to put your best foot forward and.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you too. But like, the Studio Series 38, I'll just call it the same way you do. It's a really solid, good looking design. It's one of my probably favorite movie inspired designs. Absolutely. And you know, if they can't do a good looking, especially like really large scale figure of it like this, that's just really sad.
I'm kind of curious what's the difference between like this and the 3A.
Well, this is 24 inches, so it's probably bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, but 3A has a larger scale that they do.
But is it 2 feet tall? Their larger scale.
I don't know if it's that tall. I think there's like 18 inches, maybe.
That's not 2 feet.
I mean, this would stand, you know, face to face with your Sentinel Gigantic Action Scorponok, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Or it would almost look HasLab Unicron in the eye.
Almost. Oh gosh.
Almost.
I kind of want this now.
And what about the big Megatron Optimus, the Mega something something?
Mega Action.
Yeah, those are pretty big, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to get out a tape measure to measure how tall he is, but I guess he would be about that.
Oh, cool.
So you know, there's definitely things we can you know, compare this to in terms of context we have, but as far as like mechanically how it would end up being different from a 3A or something like that, we'll have to just wait and see until there's like, you know, physical representations.
Yeah.
And the last news item to jump into, the Flame Toys Fury 11 Devastator model kit. I don't know, this is the first one of these that I actually kind of like.
Yeah, I'm torn on this one too. It's Devastator, which I love, but it's still like, I don't know. It's like
I'm almost there. Almost there.
Almost there.
I don't like it. I can't get over the foot of Mixmaster. Why people want to mess up that foot all the time, I don't know.
This is not my aesthetic.
It's, and he's gorilla arms. I mean, he is.
I almost like it.
Well, if I was going to get a Devastator that didn't transform, the one that we saw at TFCon a couple years ago, the one that Rob Springer was holding up in the pictures.
The one that's on a card?
No. It was the one that was like the animation model design.
It's like on a card?
I'm not sure, but it was the one that looked like it was the same people that did those Dinobots that was just in dinosaur mode that was like the animation model Dinobots, just
like the soft,
I don't think so, but I don't remember the company, but it was
like a big green Action Master, basically.
They were at the Make Toys, Make Toys and Fans Project table, I believe, at that convention.
I think I'm kind of with Don on this. If I was going to get a non-transforming Devastator, I want it to be like faithfully cartoon model, because I don't think there's a point otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one. So this one to me, I know what I like about it now. No, it's not animation accurate, but it's to me reminiscent of Zone Devastator.
I can kind of see that. Yeah,
so you put a cape on it, it's Zone Devastator to me. It's not exactly.
If it had come with a cape, that would be one thing.
Yeah. I that's what I like about it.
Prime Bricks is saying two Gundam, I guess. I actually am seeing more like Gainax or Studio Trigger.
Yeah.
How the proportions look, how it's posed. Like it seems more in that vein than Gundam, but I mean, you're not too far off.
Yeah. Don, I'm just saying if what you're talking about, if I remember the toy, I think those are actually sold on a blister, like in a bubble on a card. Just like a gigantic one.
So
if I'm remembering the same thing, they were kind of playing up the like giant Action Master angle,
which I agree. Those are pretty awesome looking. I wish I'd have bought some of those. That's it. That's news. We are having a long show this week. It's our 20th anniversary, but you know, screw it. Hey, if you want to help us out, tfradio.net/Amazon or buy a shirt, tfradio.net/shirts. It's a little too late to buy shirts for TFCon. I'm sorry. I should have thought about this earlier.
Oops. Oh, I have a shirt update.
Oh, okay.
How about that? So apparently Shirt Sickle's going away. They're rebranding it and like reworking the website under a new domain, but they're supposed to apparently allow like much faster uploads and like allow you to really like run your page yourself.
Oh, sweet.
So if that's true, we're going to reboot the t-shirt ordering scenario, sweet, page, URL, all of it. And hopefully that means I can upload stuff at will. So
nice. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, because we have a bunch of designs that never got up there.
Shirt sickle somewhere. So anyway, but they're redoing their complete site. And like I said, the email sounded like you can run your page yourself. So
cool.
That would be ideal.
Do it. Yeah.
Kind of funny. I forgot we even had the Cafe Press site. Apparently it got hacked.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, the mouse pads no longer not there anymore.
Oh, so some of the people in chat are saying that Devastator was actually designed by artists from Studio Trigger. So that would explain why I think it looks like a Gainax or Studio Trigger thing.
And I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, tfradio.net/Amazon. There's a lot of stuff there. You could probably look for Studio Trigger. Maybe you shouldn't. I don't know.
Well, you can probably find the Flame Toys Devastator listed there somewhere.
Yeah, it's true.
At least for pre-order.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Be awesome. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. We're, of course, on Twitter at TF Radio. We're on Instagram at TF Podcast. God, we're everywhere. YouTube. I'm not going to read out the URL, but just look for Radio Free Cybertron on YouTube. You can subscribe to us there, and you'll get notifications when we go live, and you can join us in the chat. We're also at tfradio.net/live. We're everywhere, basically. Twitch. We have a Roku channel, Fire TV channel. Where aren't we?
After 20 years, shouldn't we be everywhere?
Basically. I think we... Did we ever have a MySpace page?
Ooh. I don't know that we were really, like, active during the time MySpace was really a thing. I think if we had done more than, you know, one show between 2004 and 2008, we might have ended up with a MySpace page.
So the way we originally wound up on iTunes, because it was during a dormant period, is Mottboy set up a Blogger account for us and then posted all of our episodes and put them on iTunes. And it took me forever to get ownership of that. Not that he didn't want to give it to me. It's just that it just, for whatever reason, it just took forever. I think he lost the password and it was a pain in the butt. But gosh, we didn't have a live journal. We do have a Tumblr. We have, I think we have, what's the one where people put Pinterest? I think we have a Pinterest that I haven't updated in years.
Wow. It also does. Do we have Instagram?
We have Instagram, of course.
Okay.
TF Podcast.
I love it.
Yeah. We're just about... We don't have a Snapchat. If JD was still around, we'd have a Snapchat.
Yeah.
He likes Snapchat. Do we have a LinkedIn? Yes, we have a page on LinkedIn that nobody likes.
Are we hiring?
No. No. Hey, if people use tfradio.net/Amazon more, we could potentially hire. You know, no, that's an offline conversation.
You know what? It'd be hilarious if we did a like a motivational speech. Don, you could do a Donanomics episode and post it on LinkedIn. Hashtag yes. Donanomics on LinkedIn. You would get hits, dude.
Yes.
Yeah, because didn't we lose the recording of the Donanomics panel from Toylanta that one time?
I think we. Yeah, we did lose it.
Yeah, I think
the SD card or something. Yeah, failed.
Yeah. Sadness. I'm well familiar with that phenomenon.
Yes, you are. You need a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. And that's it. Chris?
Well, Play With Photography is kind of forced into a little bit of a hiatus right now because my camera has had an odd thing happen where the mechanism that holds the SD card in the SD card slot has started to break the SD cards almost as soon as I put an SD card in the slot. So it cracks the edge off, which frequently damages the contacts, but either way makes the card unusable because it won't fit into an SD card slot anymore correctly. Like the camera just spits it back out. It can't hold on to it anymore.
Bad
camera. So I've got a updated sales thread on Twitter, on my personal Twitter at ChrisRTXV. You can also find on one of my Amazon wish lists a bunch of Amazon gift cards if you want to help contribute that way.
tfradio.net/chrislist.
I was getting to that, but thank you. either way, though, like my main thing right now is I'm trying to raise funds as quickly as I can to get myself a decent replacement camera.
But I'm still a ways away from that. So, you know, any help anybody can provide, I'm extremely grateful for. So if you want to just like do PayPal directly or something, like get in touch with me on Twitter. I just don't like to like put a PayPal.me link out because that gives personal information whenever somebody sends money. And
I didn't know his last name for 15 years.
I prefer to keep that to, you know, people I've at least transacted with before.
Yeah, he's weird.
You know how it is. Well, okay, weirdo. So if I was like Rob, where my entire name was common throughout the whole state I lived in, that'd be one thing. It'd be harder to track me down specifically. As far as I know, my family is the only people with this last name in this whole state. So, you know, find that and it's easy to stalk me.
Hmm. Yeah. McWinkletinks is a really weird last name.
It really is. I mean, yeah. You're not wrong. No, you're not wrong. I'm not wrong.
Okay.
Speaking of Rob, he's been laid up, but his brother's been filling in for him with the Gundam Battle Operation on his YouTube channel, youtube.com/foilthroughs, hopefully. So that's definitely worth checking out, because
he also has a wish list, tfradio.net/claylist, if you would like to send him a get well soon gift of some form.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can, of course, also, you know, offer him some support through Patreon at patreon.com/foilthroughs. And Rob has moved the Flail Throughs Twitter to @RobFlails. So you'll want to make sure to go and start following that now, too. He's cool. Refollowed a lot of the people on the old Flail Throughs account, so most likely you've probably already been able to connect with that.
Yeah.
But you can also find him on Figure Reviewers on Twitter.
Cool. Rob Springer's not here. At zonebase.org and Robo Rob Springer on the Twitters, Diecast.
Oh, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Diecast2, where maybe I'll have a Unicron update soon. Hopefully we'll hear something.
Oh my God.
And, you can like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and you can see all my reviews on tfradio.net/reviews. I also have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/diecast list.
Diecast list, that's correct.
Diecast list. I have some cheap Amazon gift cards on there too. If you want me to get some figures through Amazon, I'll make sure to do a review of them. I need to get back into the review. I did get a new camera. It's the updated camera of the Sony that I have, because I've also been having a memory card problem. Sometimes I stick it in, I put it in, and it just doesn't recognize it.
That's what she said?
I'm sorry.
And I think it's because it uses that dual M2 micro slot instead of just a regular micro slot. So I'm hoping that the newer updated one is just a strict micro slot, since the M2 kind of went away, I believe.
So, talking about cameras, I'm trying to convince Kim to let me buy the Blackmagic 4K video camera. So
the 4K or the 6K?
The 4K. The 6, oh, okay. Yeah, with the 6K coming out, the 4K is a little cheaper, I think. Reason being, I'm trying to justify it with the whole having the kids thing.
Oh, yeah.
Reasonably speaking, it's actually, I mean, it's not cheap, but it's...
But as far as cinema quality 4K cameras go, it's
cheap. $1,300. So yeah. I'm really, she's like 20% the way there. So I'm going to keep pushing it. I'll have to get a lens for it. It doesn't come with a lens. Right. But if we do that, I may start reviewing toys. I don't know. But I think it'd be great for like whenever we do like an event or something. I think it'd be pretty awesome.
What lens system does the Blackmagic use?
Canon.
Oh, okay.
This camera was normally $200 to $300, and I got it for like $59.
Oh, okay. I thought you got an A6000 or something.
No, he has like an actual camcorder, not a...
Yeah, so what I have as far as an actual camcorder goes, it's the Samsung thing, and it sucks. these suck. The camera on my phone is a million times better than this. It sucks.
Yeah, so at this point, like, if you're wanting to break into video reviews and you want to drop several hundred dollars on the hardware. Not that I would recommend that, you know, as an initial investment.
Yeah.
You'll
never get that investment back.
No. But I mean, if it's something that you're interested in doing and you have use for the camera, like the newest line of Sony mirrorless APS-C cameras have like brilliant autofocus systems. Like up to this point, it's really been a thing of you need a camcorder if you want like really sharp, responsive autofocus. But Sony's autofocus system at this point is pretty much like industry leading for that class of camera. It's the same thing they have in their A7 III and their A9 series.
Honestly, if you have like an S9 or an S10 or the Pixel 3 or Pixel 4,
or yeah, those are really good too.
iPhone 11, that's enough. You're fine. Yeah. Your audio is going to, I mean, the microphone on the.
Yeah. Record external audio.
I mean, like the microphone on my S9 is very, very good, and I could record a podcast on it, but I'm not going to. But I could, but I'm not going to. So an external mic would be better. But your video, as long as you can keep it focused, is going to be great.
Yeah, that's really the thing to keep in mind is just like how responsive and accurate your autofocus is going to be on whatever system you decide to use.
Yeah. The problem with the iPhone, at least the earlier iPhones that I had, I don't know about the 11, is that it didn't keep a consistent frame rate, so it made it a nightmare for editing.
Weird.
What?
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Why do people talk about the iPhone camera being good? That's horrible.
Well, I don't know if that's video, still the visual quality is good. It's just the technical side.
I've never had an issue with the frame rate or the codec on the video out of any phone I've ever had, except for like my BlackBerry Pearl. I mean, my BlackBerry, not the Pearl. Kim had the Pearl, whatever the one I had was. Yeah, that sucked. But God, diecast, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, get an Android phone. Get a real phone.
Or, just get a cheap camcorder like diecast did, and that'll probably work for you too.
I hate the quality on them. I mean, I haven't seen diecast.
Like you have one like diecast has. His camcorder is not bad video quality.
This was supposed to be a pretty good one.
What is it?
Samsung.
Well, I mean, there's your first problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, Samsung's is this a Sony lens? I don't think it's a Carl Zeiss.
Yeah, weren't they a Carl Zeiss? Is that how you say it?
I said Zeiss, but.
Zeiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is actually Samsung part, but oftentimes they'll use Sony parts for stuff like that. Okay.
Sony actually provides components for a lot of different camera brands. Yeah. Like if you get a Nikon camera, that's got a Sony sensor in it.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Cool. Okay. Don.
Oh, right.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Very cool. John.
Fat John Z everywhere.
Okay. That's it. We'll see you next 20 years from now. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the first broadcast of Radio Free Cybertron. I'm your host and friend, Brian Kilby. Some of you may know me and some of you probably don't. In fact, I believe that most of you wouldn't. You may know me, though, from alt.toys.transformers, or you may see me around on IRC. I am 20 years old. I'm a college student here in northwestern North Carolina, and I disc jockey for a small AM radio station here called WWWC. I am an avid Transformers collector and an all-around good guy. Basically, RFC is set up as a new venue for trans fans to participate in. Many of us participate in chat or Usenet, and while those are great, they're awfully two-dimensional, and some would say rather bland. Radio Free Cybertron is an attempt to bring a more rich multimedia environment to trans fans. Talking about it is one thing, but why don't we get down to it, okay? And we'll start that off with the news. The news. First off in the news, Black Arachnia has shipped. She's been popping up all over the country. I myself found one early this week at Walmart, and I will have a review of Black Arachnia following the news. Thanks for Danby for finding this and IGN.com for reporting. According to Cartoon Network, they are considering creating an all-anime-slash-action channel similar to their Toonami program, which they air on weekday afternoons. Speculation has been that if this channel were to be created, that the Transformers would be featured on it in some way. However, speculation is all this is. It certainly, at the moment, appears that the Transformers will not appear on Cartoon Network, nor any of its spin-off channels anytime in the near future, but the possibility is always there. And finally in the news, Rhino has re-released Transformers the Movie on VHS, and this is definitely good for those of us who are still watching a 13-year-old copy of Transformers the Movie. For the first time, American fans will be able to view the Star Wars type scrolling intro for Transformers the Movie, which previously was only available in the United Kingdom version of the movie. Rhino has also been stated to say that they are interested in releasing a digital versatile disc version of the movie, which could possibly come out as early as late next year. Earlier this week, Monday to be exact, I found a Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia here in Wilkes County, North Carolina at the Wilkesboro Walmart. Actually, on my first impression, I believed her to be a repainted Transmetal Scavenger. She is very similar to the toy, but much nicer. To start off with, her beast mode, it's highly detailed and it's beautifully painted. It's very nice, but it's sort of bland, to be honest. Don't get me wrong, I mean, it's finely detailed and intricate, but personally, the spider itself, other than the abdomen, isn't very interesting. But I do really like the fact that you can switch between her Maximal and Predacon Spark. Transforming Black Arachnia from her beast mode into a robot mode is fairly easy. The instruction manual is fairly good for visual cues. My biggest problem in her transformation to the robot mode is that it mentions her defense mode, which is sort of worthless. It only tries to justify her really big shoulder pads. I can't find any other use for it. Black Arachnia's robot mode, though, is what makes her worth buying. She looks quite elegant, to be honest. Very nice detailing. And while the robot mode does have several flaws, the look makes up for it completely. The robot is very top-heavy. She has a lot of difficulty standing up. She's very unstable. I don't know why they included the high heels. She has to be standing against something most of the time to hold her up. The shoulder pads add a lot to this problem and the weight, and they distract from the toy and her hands, and I use that term loosely. They aren't very functional. They're basically just holes to place pegs. I do like her spin kick action, though, with the swivel torso, the waist. It's very reminiscent of the Masters of the Universe line, and I really like that. That's definitely a plus. Transforming Black Arachnia back into the beast mode from the robot mode is an exercise in futility. It's a pain. Trying to fit Black Arachnia's legs back into the spider's abdomen is very annoying. Anyone with an IQ less than 160 need not apply. And of course, I'm kidding there, but it's very, very annoying. Her weapon, though, I really enjoy it. It's a web shooter, sort of like she has in the show, or a grappling hook. The grapple doesn't really like to attach to anything, but the mechanized action that retracts the hook is pretty cool to play with. On the whole, Black Arachnia is a not really a fitting into the Transmetal 2 line, being that she's actually a rather nice toy. While I haven't seen Tigerhawk yet, I hope to have a review next week. On the whole, Black Arachnia gets an 8.5 out of 10. I appreciate you for listening to the first broadcast of Radio Free Cybertron. This is an abridged episode. We only got a fraction of what we intended to do done in time for the unveiling. If you want to contact us, email me at kilby316@abts.net. That's kilby316@abts.net. You can send us an email or voicemail, and a voicemail is just an email with a sound file attached to it. If you want to be on the show, which that's basically the main point of the show, you can email me at the same address, kilby316@abts.net, and for your subject header, in all caps, put interview. And we'll get a time together that I can call you, and we'll do the interview, and I'll put it on the show. And I thank you for your patience. This is totally a new format for me. I'm used to introducing songs and switching CDs. But I hope that you can give me time to improve on this. And hope you tune in next week. Hopefully, it will be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in North America. And actually across the world. At http://www.abts.net/tilde kilby316.